So disturbing developments in the Gulf Coast as the oil spill. It's not really a spill. It's actually being called a gusher 5,000 feet below the surface, as there are a number of leaks in that submerged oil platform site that is pumping oil into the Gulf of Mexico. Residue of that oil is already beginning to land in the Mississippi Delta area. Here to talk about it is Dave Cohen, news director at WWL Radio in New Orleans, Louisiana. And Chris Reddy is also with us. He's the director of the Coastal Ocean Institute at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts. Chris and Dave, good morning.
Good morning. I wish it was under better circumstances we were talking.
Oh, boy, I certainly wish the same. So, Dave Cohen, we've heard from fishermen, from individuals who are monitoring the coast, people who are involved in the tourist industry, and they've spoken, this could be the worst thing ever. Is that the kind of superlatives that you're hearing, or is it all hyperbole at this point? We don't really know.
Well, I don't think it'll be worse than what Katrina did, but it could be nearing that proportions, at least as far as talking about the economic impact along the coast, the impact to wildlife, and the impact to industries that does include fishing and tourism.
Well, let's look at the scale of some of those industries. I mean, the shrimp catch in the Gulf, particularly off the Louisiana coast, is huge, right?
Yeah, but you're talking about this area provides about a third of the nation's seafood is what the local industry tells us.
A third of all the seafood. So it's not just shrimp, it's everything.
Shrimp, oysters, many variety of fish, crabs, and the list goes on and on.
All right, so let's go directly to Chris Reddy then. You know the species that he's talking about there, and we're not preserving an ecosystem simply to eat, Chris Reddy, but how vulnerable are those species and others in the habitat that's threatened?
Well, nobody likes to get oiled, and they all have a different threshold for oil exposure. At this point, it's really difficult to, you know, really expand as to how much harm is going to happen, but the most important thing is to stop oil into the area at this point, but certainly all of them are going to be affected.
Now, they're talking about, I heard, you know, another one of these superlatives, and it's hard for me to evaluate, that, you know, something like a third of all the dispersants in the world. These are huge sort of industrial detergents that break up oil and disperse it so it can be more evenly dissolved in seawater. Is that the kind of thing that works? Or it seems to me if it's still in the water, it gets into the food chain somehow.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, there many of these strategies to combat this oil have their positives and negatives. The positives of dispersants are that they break up the oil into small particles that hopefully get transported away by currents or diluted away. And so that's the hope. The negative is that you you might break them up into small enough pieces that it makes it a little bit more available to the surrounding areas. So it's a hope that you break them up into small pieces and then they kind of get diluted and carried away from areas of concern.
That's Chris Reddy at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Well, that hope depends, Dave Cohen, news director at WWL down in New Orleans. That hope depends on the weather report down there. What are they saying about the currents, the direction of the flow, and the kinds of wave patterns?
Yeah, it's not good right now. We're now looking at 4 to 6 foot waves right now crashing into the uninhabited barrier islands and wetland area off the Louisiana coast. And with those waves is coming oil thanks to a southeast wind that right now in Venice, Louisiana, at the tip of the state, is gusting over 20 miles an hour. And the meteorologists are telling us that those winds out of the southeast are going to continue for at least the next 3 days. That's exactly what we don't want to hear, because that means it keeps pushing that slick into the coast. And we have to brace to start seeing not only the oil moving over those habitats we've been talking about, but also moving inland.
But Dave, let's just get this clear from you. You think it's wrong to say this will be worse than Katrina, as we've already heard this morning from some people speculating.
Well, I guess it depends on what you're using as a measuring stick as far as, you know, this isn't going to wipe out, you know, tens of thousands of homes and displace entire communities, but it is going to have an impact that could, you know, linger for many, many years in terms of what it does to the wildlife, to the seafood industry, and as well to these protective barrier islands and wetland areas that are the last line of defense to hurricanes.
Chris Reddy, as an oceanographer, you deal with submersibles. They're talking about the repair job here. That's required to actually drill another hole down there and try to take the pressure off to stop the gusher. Are the submersibles that industry has capable of a job like this, 5,000 feet below the surface?
I'm not sure which submersibles they have, but at that water depth, that is not an unreasonable depth to work at. And if you have a skilled operator, you can do amazing things in the bottom of the ocean with that technology. But still, nevertheless, you have it's dark, it's pitch dark, and there's oil, you know, gushing out. So it's not the most ideal place to do any type of operations. So it's challenging beyond belief.
Now, you know, I'm familiar with some of the work of your colleagues, and you've looked at on the the bottom of the ocean, you know, odd sort of places where really poisonous substances from inside the earth interact with the seawater, and life is possible in these sorts of situations. Is there any precedent for this kind of an oil leak out of the earth?
Oh, sure, yeah. In fact, in the Gulf of Mexico, there are what they call natural oil seeps, which are where oil naturally seeps out, where there's cracks in the bottom of the ocean floor that comes up, and also off the coast of Santa Barbara. The difference between this spill and between what we're going on right now and these natural oil spills, per se, is that the communities have many, many thousands of years to evolve, to get used to and inhabit around these areas and end up actually making a living off them. This is not the case. Time is not on our side, and this case, nature will not respond that quickly in terms of what happens in these other regions.
Nature has a 1,000-year plan, but a man better come up with a weak plan here, right?
And what you're referring to, in which nature's capacity to inhibit in places that are of extreme environments, yes, this is it's not going to happen in this case.
What are you most worried about in terms of the permanent impact of this? You've studied the oceans all over the world.
My biggest concern is that we don't get the wellhead shut off quick enough. If we can shut it off today and the winds start blowing south and the seas get flat calm, then we'd be in pretty good shape. 4 to 6 foot seas and winds blowing onto the coast is really not good right now. So my biggest concern, first of all, is always to stop the input of the oil. And this is a new world, because most oil spill responders deal with a one shot, although it might be big, event. We have an event that's been occurring 24 hours, so the import term's continuing to go and go and go, and we got to stop it.
Chris Reddy, director of the Coastal Ocean Institute at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Dave Cohen, a final thought in the last 30 seconds.
We're watching the oil come ashore, and I hope that Chris is right. There is some way to stop it, but right now, no one sees any quick way to make this go away.
Dave Cohen, news director at WWL Radio, watching the waters off the coast of New Orleans.